In our Sunday services since Christmas, we've been going through Genesis from chapter 12, looking at the life of Abraham, who is often given as an example of how we are to live by faith in God. And so when I was thinking through this morning what we look at, this was the obvious place to come. It speaks about Abraham's faith, and it tells us how actually the resurrection is central to the faith that we share with Abraham. Romans is a tricky book. It is a book that needs wrestled with. It is a book that's worth wrestling with. And so far in this book, Paul has shown us that every human being deserves the judgment of God. None is righteous, he said. None of us are right with God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But then there's that magnificent passage at the end of chapter 3, which shows us how God has made a way for us to be made right with him, for us to be saved, forgiven, and set free from sin and from the punishment of sin, from death. He's given us the hope of eternal life by sending Jesus to die on the cross for us, taking the punishment for our sin so that we could have his righteousness. That is, so that when God looks at us, he doesn't see an enemy anymore. He sees a son, a child, an heir, because he sees Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus given to us. And the question, one of the major questions of Romans, is how do we receive this righteousness? Is it by being good? And the answer, thankfully, is no, because we can't be good enough. We receive by trusting that Jesus' work is enough. We're counted as right with God when we put our trust, our faith in God. Faith that is itself a gift of God. And in chapter 4, Paul looks at the life of Abraham, who was known as the friend of God. So why did God accept Abraham? Why did God count Abraham as righteous, as right before God? Well, if it was because of what Abraham did, if it's because Abraham was obedient and faithful to God, then it raises the question of whether we really need Jesus. Because surely if Abraham became a friend of God through what he did, then we too can become friends of God through our faithful obedience to his word. But Paul says no. And if you've followed us through the life of Abraham, there is plenty of evidence to show that he was not good enough. He made so many terrible, terrible errors and sins. It wasn't Abraham's faithful obedience that made him right with God. It was his faith. Genesis 15 verse 6 is the key verse, and Paul quotes it in this passage that we heard. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. He trusted that God's word is true, and he obeyed because he trusted. He didn't try to earn God's favor, God's forgiveness. He responded to God's favor. The promise to Abraham was not given because he was good enough. God chose to give Abraham this promise, to bless the whole world through him, his offspring. And Abraham believed that promise. Now, the promise seemed pretty unlikely. It depended on Abraham having a son. And Paul puts it rather bluntly, Abraham was as good as dead. Not only that, his wife was barren. She could not bear children. And yet, despite how unlikely the promise seemed, Abraham believed. Paul says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. So what evidence did Abraham have? Well, he had seen God's help through his life. He'd seen God's goodness through his life. But there's not much that we would say would be solid evidence that a man of 100 years old could have a son with his wife of 90 years. But he still believed. That is why, verse 22 says, his faith was counted to him as righteousness. There wasn't a lot of solid evidence that he could look to and say, yeah, this is probably true. All he had was the word of God, and he believed. This is true of everyone who has been or is or will be reconciled to God. Of everyone who has been forgiven their sin and made right with him. The words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. Some wrongly believed that Abraham was made right with God by what he did. They said, but maybe we'll be made right with God by faith. Paul also wants to make sure that we don't fall for the opposite error, believing that Abraham was made right with God by faith, but we are made right with God by what we do. Abraham is the father of us all, Paul says. That is, all who are made right with God, not because he was a special case, not because God dealt with him differently, but quite the opposite. He is the father of all who believe because in essence he is the same as all who believe. A sinner in need of God's grace. A man deserving death to whom God gives life. A man who trusted God and was counted by God as righteous. Paul is saying we are all like Abraham. We come to God on the same grounds that Abraham came, by trusting in his word. So trust God. Believe his word. Yes, we need to work. We need to obey. We need to serve. Because faith that is not lived out is not faith at all. It's just empty words. But remember also that those works cannot make us somehow more right with God. They can't add anything to what Jesus has done. And that's the basis of our faith. That's what we put our trust in, what Jesus has done. And so we receive right standing with God. And so in one way we are different from Abraham, and it's because we have a massive advantage over Abraham. Abraham believed God on the basis of what he knew of God. We know so much more because we have the scriptures. We have creation as Abraham did. But all Abraham had was that direct promise from God. That was the word that he had. We have this. We have the whole revelation of God in his word, in his dealings with his people. And we have the living word, Jesus. Even greater advantage over Abraham. We can know Jesus. We have the knowledge that the whole of the Old Testament, including those promises to Abraham, point to and is fulfilled in Jesus. We have the assurance that God's forgiveness is possible, that it is available, because he bore the penalty of that sin. He was delivered up for our trespasses. God's justice was satisfied on the cross. And Paul ends this chapter with another glorious piece of evidence that we can trust God, that we can believe his word. And that is the resurrection. Righteousness, he says, will be counted to us who believe in him who was raised, believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Righteousness will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We can't separate Christ's death and resurrection. We need them both. That's another sermon all in itself. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. He was raised so that God could declare us not guilty. Through the resurrection, God declared Jesus righteous. Death had no hold over him. Acts 2:24, Peter preaching at Pentecost, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. It wasn't possible. Death is the penalty of sin, and Jesus had never sinned. So once he'd paid the penalty for our sin, God raised him from the dead. The sentence of death was finished with. It was done. Our faith is not only in Jesus crucified for our sin. We believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. It is a living faith in a living Lord Jesus. The one whose righteousness was declared by God as he rose from the grave. The one whose righteousness was counted to Abraham and to all who believe. And so we are called to trust him and his righteousness for eternity and for today, that we might live in the resurrection life of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we come knowing that we have no right to come to you, no right to be counted as friends of God, no right to be righteous. Lord, we can't make that righteousness ourselves. We cannot obey you perfectly in thought, word, and deed. But we thank you, Lord, that Christ obeyed you perfectly, that he is perfectly righteous, and that we are given his right standing before you. Help us, Lord, to remember that work that Christ has done, to remember that it is complete. If we have not responded to you, Lord, open our eyes to see the glorious truth of Christ who died and rose again for us, and help us to respond with faith by trusting your word fully, trusting in Christ, raised for our justification, raised that we might have life. In his name we thank you. Amen.